Good morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the real challenges facing Arizonans. Good morning, folks. Welcome to Democratic Perspective. Steve Williamson here.
Mike Constantino over here. We got a studio full. We got a ton of guys here.
And we're a little bit of a departure. Even though it's Democratic Perspective, we're talking about a completely non-political issue, really, or an economic issue, a social, cultural issue, which is wine beginning to change, the wine industry beginning to change the Verde Valley.
Yeah, even
to create jobs. And
even if you've been living in a box on the river, you had to have noticed in the last few years a big change in the Verde Valley.
It's transformed. Yeah. Old Town, Cottonwood. It's having a lot of impact here. There are festivals around. So Mike is going to introduce folks, because we're not joking about having a full studio today.
Yeah,
we're going to talk about the wine industry. It's coming to the Verde Valley, and what are the implications for it? We'll ask some questions about, you know, what grapes are. No, try to get some information about growing wine and stuff. We have all kinds of different people. Mike, you want to introduce
everybody?
Let me
go through the list here. I'm going to talk Sandy Moriarty, John Scarborough. We have Tom Schumacher, and I know a lot of people are going to recognize these names just by hearing them. Tom Schumacher, ex-college guy, current college guy, I forgot about, not ex, that's right. We have Ted Faring and Paula Wosley. I got that right? All right. That's what
so
I say about.
Why not in that order? Tell us a little bit about who you are. So, Sandy, you want to? Sandy is the head of the Sedona Wine Festival, executive director. Is that your title?
Well, not exactly. I'm the director. I'm the founder. Just threw the thing together the first year, almost never having been to a wine festival before. So, but now we've grown from about 700 people the first year to probably 3,000 this year. Attending.
And when's the wine festival?
The wine festival is September 28th and 29th up at the airport in the Vista parking lot in a gigantic tent, huge tent. And I think it's going to be nice this year because I think the weather's going to be a little cooler. So we're really looking forward to it. We have a lot of things going on there. We've got great food. We're going to have wood-fired pizza this year. We have great wine, of course, and we have music all day, both days. We have premium admission. A premium area is really ramped up this year. We've expanded it because it was successful last year, the first year we did it. And it's going to be really good. We'll be pouring wines in there that aren't available out in the general admission area. And we have some great ones this year. And we have an educational area this year, too, for the first time, and a cigar bar. So we got it all going on.
Well, it's too bad there's not going to be anything to do.
Yeah.
Sandy Moriarty is really knowledgeable. You know, we have participated in some impromptu wine auctions together. And
yes.
I'm not afraid to say she saved my life. She knows a lot about Verde Valley wine, and she's, even though the Sedona Wine Festival hasn't been going on that long, she's the man, so to speak.
So why don't you introduce yourselves and tell a little bit about what you do, because we have a variety of people in the wine industry.
Hello, my name is John Scarborough, and I'm a winemaker here in the Verde Valley for Fire Mountain Wines and Cellar Dwellers. I've been in the wine industry for about 8 years now here in Arizona.
And tell us a little bit about what kind of wines you have.
We make all different kinds of wines, reds, whites, lots of different varieties, a lot of blends, a lot of single varietals, really run the gamut of different kinds.
I've had
of
a
wines.
Lot of Cellar Dwellers wine. I've had some Firemont wine.
It's, You've had a lot of everybody's wine.
I can say that about all of it here.
We've shared a few, I'm sure.
We've shared a few. John and I go way back. John's a homeboy. John's local. John, his parents, he lived in the village of Oak Creek, and he attended school in Cottonwood, and we've known each other many long, long, long time. So his success in the wine business is... I take credit for it, actually. Tom, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Okay. I'm Tom Schumacher. I'm actually My regular job is with Yavapai College. I teach there. I'm a professor of art there. But I'm also the president of the Verde Valley Wine Consortium. It's an organization that's been around about 6 years now, arguably about 6 years. And we formed this group to promote the wine industry in the Verde Valley. That was our sole mission and still is. And that's what we do. We're here to let people know about the industry. And
how many members, Tom?
Say the name again.
The Verde Valley Wine Consortium.
And how many members of the wine consortium?
Member-wise, we probably have nearly 80 members, last count.
Yeah, about.
I'm looking to, over to Paula. Paula's our vice president of the wine consortium.
Real quickly, how does somebody become a member of the wine consortium? We'll introduce these other two guys, but how do you get into the wine consortium?
Mike is looking for discounted wine.
Discount? Yeah. You go to the longest email address or the longest website address you've ever heard, theverdevalleywineconsortium.com. And at that wine or at that website, you'll find all the information you need, registration, events, things like that. We're under construction with it. We've just hired a high-powered marketing person. We've redone our logo. We've redone our image. We're coming up still in the Verde Valley.
Yeah, great, Ted. This is a great combination of people regarding the wine industry. We got the experts, the growers. We got the kind of the merchant angle or commercial angle, and we have Ted, who's a what?
Hello, my name's Ted Faring. I'm currently a student at Yavapai College, soon to be a next student. I just finished my curriculum yesterday. I am also the assistant to the director of viticulture, Nikki Check, and I'm currently interning with Javelina Leap. I am also the assistant to the winemaker there, Cynthia Snap.
So I believe that the extension of a Coconino Community College has the only wine program in the state, or one of the only programs?
Yeah. No, that's
Yavapai. I'm sorry, Yavapai.
Whoa.
We're divided between two different counties here. It's hard to keep them straight. So Yavapai has a whole program training young winemakers and people for the industry?
That's correct. We have a certificate program for viticulture as well as a degree in enology and viticulture.
And I went to pick up Mike at the college, and you've got vineyards around the college.
We do. Currently, there are 5.5 acres at Yavapai College that the students help manage, and we're hoping to double that within the next 2 or 3 years.
So for students, this is really hands-on.
They absolutely.
Really learn
absolutely.
How to make wine. They learn about selling wine. They learn about how to work in the vineyard, the whole
and,
thing.
And literally building the vineyard from the ground up.
Wow.
My address is 1130. Please come over. I have a half an acre in the back that looks beautiful in vines. I think it's ready for vines. We have Paula Wolsey here.
Thanks, Mike. I'm Paula Wolsey, and I'm currently the director of sales for Arizona Stronghold, which is one of the biggest wineries in Arizona. I am also the person who taught the first viticulture class at the college. I currently still teach the wines of the world and wines of the U.S. I help Tom with the Verde Valley Wine Consortium. I'm the vice president. I spend my days taking the word of Arizona wines outside of the state of Arizona. I do a lot of marketing. Arizona Stronghold's available in 35 states, 4 provinces, and Australia. So I really have an eye to what the world is looking at as far as what we're doing here. We find that the wines are winning awards and getting good scores, and people are really interested in what's happening. So with our work on the consortium and teaching at the college, it's spreading. It's coming out, and people are moving here from other places to actually get involved with the wine industry. There's a lot of opportunity. I've been in the wine industry here for 20 years. Started with the Arizona wines about 7 years ago.
You can see Paula sitting outside of Arizona Stronghold in Old Town Cottonwood. By the way, they have a wonderful tasting room down there. I went someplace else. Someplace I've been several times, actually.
When does wine growing get started in Arizona, and when does it get started growing in the Verde Valley? And I know for many years, didn't people in California think it would be impossible to grow wine here because it's so hot and arid and so forth and so on?
Well, the wine industry in the Verde Valley has a long history. Quickly, there was a thriving industry here in the Verde Valley prior to Prohibition that was basically intended to support the mining that was going on in Jerome. And then we had Prohibition, and that stopped for a while. Arizona went into Prohibition 6 years before the rest of the country, so we had about a 19-year no winemaking. And then currently, it picked back up here for the state in about 1975, 1980. And then in Arizona, in northern Arizona, we came about 15 years ago, we started seeing some vineyards going in. And the rest is history. We're having a pretty good opportunity here in the Verde Valley.
How many vineyards in Verde Valley, for example? Do you know?
How many actual vineyards? There's probably about 20.
20-ish.
Okay. 20 vineyards, yeah. Ranging in size from, 1 acre to 30, 35-acre plots.
To the half acre in Mike's backyard.
As soon as you planted, yeah. Why? I'm convinced, but convince our listeners that this isn't just some Verde, but we're not trying to hitch our wagon to some star here, that there's some real reason for the wine being grown here, grapes being grown here.
Mike, you said earlier that you like facts. Here's a fact.
I like stats. I'm a big statistics guy.
Before Prohibition, Arizona grew more grapes than California.
Wow.
Prohibition actually killed the wine industry.
The 1930s, for those people that are only 12 years old.
So listening. The
20s. So compare that to what's happening now in California.
Thank you.
So Arizona certainly has the potential for growing a lot of grapes. If people think, it's too hot, too dry, whatever, the ground's too bad. The ground is perfect for growing grapes.
All right.
Why is it perfect for growing grapes? Let me ask all of you.
It's really a desert crop. The original Vitis vinifera was found what we thought current day Iran. It popped up in the desert. It is a crop that likes to get very involved with soil. It likes to have a diversity of soil. It doesn't need a lot of water. So one of the crops growing here in Arizona that we think is perfect would be, grapes. It uses about a 16th what your traditional crops of corn and alfalfa. These things use a lot more water, or human beings. So there's that, and the fact that we grow grapes in Arizona for making good wine at high elevations. So you're limited. We're not growing a lot of grapes in the desert. It is too hot there. But when you have that good influence of the cooling nights here that we get in the Verde Valley, that makes for very, very interesting wine. And that's one of the main reasons we can do it here. You can't do it everywhere in Arizona, but high elevation, usually above 3,500 feet to about 6,000 feet in that range, with good drainage and good soil. I mean, the soil doesn't have to be good quality soil. They actually like rockier soil with a little more stress involved. Stressing the grapes produces interesting wines.
So is the good soil in the lower Verde Valley, that limestone, that Verde Valley
formation?
Yeah,
with the caliche people hate to grow on, it's great. It's very similar to what you see growing in places like Bordeaux and France, which are regions that are famous for growing grapes. It's not necessarily the valley floor. Flores grape do like to be planted on hillsides, so you have better drainage of water. And so you can pretty much plant. And, we're all a high valley here. So what we like to see is the proper facing of the sun and the grapes being able to be on slopey hills so that the water can drain downhill.
All right. I have caliche in my backyard, and I have a hill, and I'm on a wash, so we're ready to bring in the bulldozers anytime.
So how did the wine industry come to the Verde Valley? Who started it? Do you have some statistics for us about what's happening here? And because it's creating jobs, right? It's changing the culture. In other words, it dovetails perfectly, frankly, with tourism. That's a major industry in the Verde Valley. Because the Jeep companies and stuff and everybody else does wine tours. We're getting people who stay in Cottonwood and come up to Sedona to look at the Red Rocks. The valley is turning into a more of a tourist destination. It's not just Sedona anymore.
Yeah, so talk a little bit about the Verde Valley Wine Trail and And I like that term, by the way. Tom's got the stats. I want to hear the stats. What you got there?
Okay, I got a lot of stats. So stop me when you hear too many of them. So the Verde Valley Wine Consortium, as we started this group, and this goes back to down in Cottonwood, Casey Rooney actually called the first meeting. We had 40 people came. We thought, wow, this is great. We'll call another meeting, and figured we'd have maybe 10 or 15 people. Next meeting, we had 45 people. So that told us that people were definitely interested in that. We knew when we formed the consortium that this was going to have impact on the economic development of not just Cottonwood, but of the state. So we talked about it. Well, you know, anybody talking, that's all anecdotal stuff. Let's get some data, some facts in here. So we talked to the University of Arizona, and in April of 2001, they published a study for us, in conjunction with the Yavapai Cooperative Extension, and they called it the Economic Contribution of the Wine Industry in the Verde Valley. And they estimated back in 2011 that in the Verde Valley alone, there's almost $25 million that's coming in directly related to the wine industry. That's a pretty big number.
Around here, that's a huge number.
So that was back in 2011.
And that doesn't count the indirect increase in tourism and stuff.
Right.
The money going into restaurants and hotels and people coming to, for example, the Sedona Wine Festival that wouldn't always be here otherwise.
No, they wouldn't be here, and they wanted something else to be here for. And this is kind of the niche that they were looking for. So, the monies are spent around in a lot of different ways. Payroll is about $2 million. Spending to the other businesses, they estimate to be about $6.5 million. Direct economic output from the industry is over $5.5 million. The estimated impact of the wine industry on just tourism is 11. So that's where you come up with your $25 million figure. It's kind of the way they broke it out.
Sure. I'm looking at the tavern. I talked to Eric Jurison, the owner of several restaurants and purveyor of a lot of wine. And he's expanding his hotel down there. The Tavern Hotel is going to move into over the Tavern Grill and just needing more destination rooms because more people are coming here for a variety of reasons, but one of the biggest is the wine trail.
Sure.
I was talking to Sandy, and what stage is the wine industry in here in the Verde Valley? Because obviously Napa, Sedona, I can remember when Santa Barbara was like the first vineyards went into Santa Barbara in California.
Let me give you a couple of quick statistics, and then I'll tell you about that. At the end of the vintage in 2010, the state of Arizona produced the state about 38,000 cases of wine. The end of the 2011 vintage, we were up into about 70,000 cases. The 2012 vintage, we're getting closer to 90, and this year we should probably hit over 120,000 cases for the state. So it represents a lot of opportunity for a lot of different people, for a lot of different kinds of jobs. Here we have in the Verde Valley the perfect storm, if you will. I've been in the wine business for years. My dad was in the wine business. I grew up in the wine business. I've watched wine industries grow in areas around the country. I've never witnessed or have seen occur when a wine region decides to pop up somewhere having a negative effect on economics at all or lowering property values. It's always going to raise property values. People are already coming to northern Arizona. We have the infrastructure. We've got the Grand Canyon. We've got Sedona. People are coming to Jerome. We have hotels. We have restaurants. We're adding added value to what's already here. We don't have to recreate the wheel. I've seen places like Paso Robles. They're just getting around to getting a lot of hotels. And they've been a wine industry or wine region now for 30 years more. Walla Walla, Washington's another great example. Here was some place that was just like it was a nowhere in the western Washington state desert area. There was nothing there. They had eastern. They had about 17 wineries, and now they're up to about 700. And there, I liken what they did in Walla Walla, but they had to create the whole wheel there. We don't here in the Verde Valley. So we're adding value. People don't come to watch corn grow. They will come and see grapes grow, though.
John, can you tell us a little bit about the problems and potential, since you're a wine grower and vintner?
Well, one of the main problems here is actually the cold. We get late spring frost.
The cold?
Yes, cold.
Too cold.
Too cold. So I'm actually fighting a cold right now, too. So, but anyway, grapes, in the late spring, we always get, you know, the random Sedona snowstorm that hits in late April. And once the vines have already flowered, that can have a really devastating effect on that year's crop. So a lot of people think it's the heat that might be, you know, our biggest problem here. And then we've had all this rain, which is not good for
exactly
rot problems. Yeah, exactly.
How did you find how did you guys figure out, I'm just ask you all, how did you figure out what varieties of grapes would grow well here? Did you try different?
Well, I think it's still a big learning curve there. People are trying, you know, vintners all over the state are trying hundreds of different varietals and, you know, seeing what sticks. It's basically right now it's about throwing everything against the wall and seeing what works well.
I want to hear a few names, John. What's growing good right now?
One of my favorites in the state, Sangiovese, Mavedra is growing really well. Tempranillo,
Malvasia
Bianca is a great white grape for the state right now. So
these are lesser known grapes that are famous for different regions in Europe, right?
Absolutely, southern France, Spain, Italy. You know, all these grapes are pretty famous in their respected regions.
Cabernet is doing pretty well here too, I'd say.
John is kind of like looking skeptical about the Cabernet thing.
He likes making Zin too.
Yeah. And so the problems are really about the late winter storms and stuff. And you grow almost everything on a slope. Are the vineyards mostly on slope? You don't like the fertile land along the Verde River for growing grapes?
Well, there's way too much cold drainage down by the Verde River as well. So, they don't grow very well down by the Verde River. You want to be up from the river quite a ways.
Any fruit grower in the Verde Valley knows the late spring storms that will devastate your fruit, either, you know, whether it's grapes or whether it's apples, peaches, you know, whatever. And we have it. And, you know, you get those late April and those May storms that just can break your heart.
I'm going to ask Sandy, who runs the wine festival, what's the difference between, or is there, I guess there probably isn't a single difference. What's the difference between Arizona wines? What characterizes them as opposed to California or European wine?
This really isn't a question for me. It's a question for Paula, but you can correct me if I'm wrong. But California wines, for me, are too focused on oak. I think Arizona wines are usually cleaner. I really enjoy them more than I don't like a lot of oak. Paula? Paula's my wine guru, by the way. This is why I know what I do know.
Using oak barrels to age your wine is a winemaker decision. The obvious differences that I could point out have to do with more about the minerality that we see here in the Verde Valley and we see in Arizona in general. There is also sort of, we'd like to coin the term of a roasted desert herbs. You know, there's a smell that has to do with the desert. You can actually feel, and it's something that high elevation wines can tend to be leaner and more acidic, which is something we definitely try to create here, because when you do that, you get wines that are going to have a better compatibility with food. So the wine, it has to do with creating a liquid landscape, as a good friend of mine likes to say. You're going to get what the earth is going to provide you in that place, and that'll have to do with the sun and the rain and the soil, and then the winemakers really have a lot to do with what happens at the end. You know, a good winemaker can make good wine in a crappy vintage. It starts in the vineyard, but the winemaker at the end is going to have a lot to do with those final details when it comes to like oak. Grapes are grapes, and you're going to make wine, and you can make great wine here in the Verde Valley.
You all have such a varied background, and let me ask John, when you were a kid, did you think you would be growing wine grapes and becoming a vintner? Or did you have something else in mind?
Absolutely not. I actually grew up here as well, so I never saw myself being here in the Verde Valley growing grapes. So Mike has a big smile on his face.
Yeah, I have a line here, and it's not fair. John's always been a good boy and a very nice man, and that happens. But I always thought that John Scarborough would not be growing wine. He would be doing time.
However, John is an example of what wine can do for the Verde Valley, and that is keep some of the younger people who are raised here in the area. I mean, this is something nobody succeeded in doing until the wine industry came along.
We've actually received recently some grants from the AOC, and we've put some vineyards at three high schools in the area. So we're starting to get that idea in people's minds a little sooner. And if we could keep some of these kids here, that's the goal. So here's your grapes growing opportunity in high school, and then you come over to the Yavapai College, and we're going to teach you how to make wine and hope that your goal is to stay here, create here.
So I would actually like to ask Ted how he got involved in the wine industry here, because he wasn't in the wine industry prior to coming to the Verde Valley, I don't think. Were you, Ted?
Completely by accident. Yeah. I had actually been in the wine industry for about a year in Virginia between my military career and working for the government, and I left it with great trepidation, but I had to get a real job at the time. And when I moved to the Verde Valley 4 years ago for family reasons, I had no idea that there was a wine industry here. I was elated that there was an opportunity to actually do something that was something of a passion as opposed to a job. And I've dived into it ever since.
And you're a good example of what the college can bring to the region in terms of the wine industry.
Well, that's great. So tell us a little bit what does it take to get through Yavapai's wine program, for want of a better term.
Well, if you're going for the viticulture certificate, it takes approximately a year, and there's three semesters where you're required to work in the viticulture arena and the actual field alongside the workers in the various vineyards. There are approximately 30 credit hours associated with that certificate. The two-year program, which includes enology, is pretty much doubling up, doing the same amount of work in the cellars, approximately 60 hours or minimum in the cellars here in the valley, and equal amount of coursework. And there's a soil component. There's some study tied with the current agriculture program that the college already has. So there's a great overlapping in some of the programs already in existence at the college.
Yes, and it's just moving forward because the college is also building an actual winery, correct?
That has been in the works now for, I guess, a couple of years. I know the college and the foundation at the college are hoping to break ground as soon as possible. I know that there's been delays with some funding issues. They're currently raising money, and I know they have to reach a certain threshold before they break ground.
How did Yavapai Community College get this program? Because it would seem like it would be a program that would be desirable in several other places in Arizona.
It wasn't an easy task, put it that way, to have the college get involved with this. I had to bring this stuff forward to the college and its the main administrative offices are all located in Prescott.
And you were originally an art teacher, still are an art teacher.
Yes. Yes, still teaching the arts. But at the time, I was the campus dean there, and we had a president who came on and said, what are you going to do with your campuses? So he had all the campus deans come and pitch their programs that they wanted to do. We had a series of charrettes on the Verde campus, and we invited the public or anybody else who wanted to come and said, we have 120 acres of land on the Verde campus. What would you like to see done on those 120 acres? All this information was processed, and we came back with three plans, and one of the plans was to have it become a wine-growing region. So I went back to our president at the time. I said, the pitch for the Verde campus is to start a viticulture program. and you saw people look around and go,
huh?
Did he say viticulture?
Right. Did you say wine?
So I threw out a quick, I said, here's my definition so everybody can remember this quickly and easily. Viticulture is the study of the vines. Enology is the study of the wines.
There you go.
And the president said, go for it. Both.
Still teaching this morning.
But there's no money. So that's how we proceeded with it.
I mean, that's great. That's a good story.
So this is a story of the college working with the vintners and wholesalers, retailers, and tasting rooms. You kind of all work together to promote wine in the Verde Valley?
Absolutely. The first acre of vines that were planted at the college were actually in a partnership with Merkin Vineyards. They actually provided all the vines, all the labor, everything to put this in here. The only stipulation was that the students of the viticulture program could actually have a working laboratory. They could actually have a vineyard on campus they could go into and work.
Just for a second, we're going to get out of the wine barrel and talk a little bit about those people that kind of help us do this. Democrats of the Red Rocks is a sponsoring organization of this show, and Democrats of the Verde Valley both kick in a little to help us get the show on the air. And that we have a movie coming up. Door, Democrats of the Red Rocks, has a movie called A Place at the Table, and all their movies at the Sedona Library. This one is September 25th at 6 o'clock, and it's I just want to read a little bit here. It has Jeff Bridges in it, and it's about hunger in America. A Place at the Table has talks about three individual stories of people who don't get enough to eat at any given time. There's one in four children that may not get enough to eat in America. So it really is and it's not about other unfortunate places in the world. It's about hunger in the USA.
And then Thursday we have Nancy Wonders. Nancy Wonders is a professor of criminology and criminal justice up at NAU. And she's going to be talking about globalizing and greening debates about crime and justice. She says she wants to talk to people about new ideas about how to look at the justice system. And that's this Thursday morning, 8 o'clock, Old Sedona Bar and Grill. To buy breakfast. It's $12. And other than that, everybody's invited. It's not a particularly partisan topic, I don't think.
Dora's monthly breakfast that we have at the Old Sedona restaurant there is... some of them can be partisan, but this one, no. I think a crime and this kind of thing is concern to everyone. We do have some wonderful local experts here, and we get some great crowds. I mean, it's a good restaurant, wonderful place to eat, and you might have a nice intimate breakfast with 40 or 60 people.
Yes.
So please come.
And for those of us who are old geezers, it's the one time in the month you can eat bacon and sausage without guilt. We're talking this morning with people involved in the wine industry in the Verde Valley, an industry that we think is changing the way the Verde Valley is, changing the economy, it's changing the culture, it's providing jobs for young people. It's a coordination of the so many different aspects, and it's producing festivals and tourism. What's going to happen next, Paula? What's your projection for where this is going? Now, the wine industry is just getting going in the Verde Valley. It's going strong. What's the potential here? And I, all of you guys.
I think the potential for the Verde Valley is to, for lack of a better term, be the crown jewel of what's happening here in the wine industry in Arizona. We are constricted by, you know, price, cost per acre, and Forest Service land all around us. So we're not going to ever grow to be, you know, people like to say, are we going to be the next Napa? Well, it's just physically not going to happen. But we will be known for our quality wines. That's what we're trying to portray with the consortium. Consortium and the wines that are we're entering into competitions and we're getting great scores and we're actually winning international competitions with the wines that we're creating here. And I think if we contain the growth in a good way and we put things where they need to be planted and we do our research, it'll just bring more emphasis to the area, and I think people will be longing to want to come and join the fun. I see the big growth happening in southern Arizona because it's just economically more feasible. There's a lot more land down there, and I think you'll see wineries continue to grow here in the Verde Valley and start sourcing a lot more fruit from down south and continuing to plant here and go forward making great wines.
The wine industry is fun, right, folks?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, think about Paula's classes. Look at the homework you got to do.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. I signed up for twice.
It's a terrible thing putting together a wine fest, right, Sandy? I mean, it's sort of traumatic. And
it is a lot of work. I can tell you that. It has way too many moving parts. But it is coming together. It has grown every year tremendously. And I will say that one thing we still need, and it's only a couple of weeks away now, but we still need volunteers. So if you'd like to volunteer for Sedona Wine Fest, please go to our website, SedonaWineFest.com. Look at the volunteer tab and fill out the form or call the person or email the person whose name is there, Lisa Bravo, and she'll take care of you. So I'd also like to mention, if I could, a few other things that are going on. This is the Sedona International Film Festival is putting on a series of movies starting tonight. Tonight there's one called Red Obsession. It's a kind of a live streaming event, I believe. And there will be a wine tasting before both shows. I think it's at 4 and 7? Yes, it's at 4 and 7, and there will be wine tasting. I think it's Arizona Stronghold, is it?
Mary D. Fisher Theater.
Right.
Yeah, there's going to be other wines besides Arizona Stronghold wine there, but it'll be Arizona wines. And see, it's one of the few theaters that I know of that you can actually go and get a glass
you
of wine.
You can
and
get
drink
a glass of wine
while
during
you're
the movie.
The movie. So
yeah.
It's a good wine. Interesting. It should be an interesting wine movie. It's about the high prices you're seeing for wines in Europe and how the Chinese are buying them all up. It's called The Red Obsession, and it looks a beautiful cinematography.
Right. And then there's a couple other movies coming. On Sunday the 22nd, there's a movie being shown called Somme. It's actually a documentary about some guys who are learning to pass, to be sommeliers and pass the big master
Somme test.
Master Somme exam. And I guess it's kind of, it's never been shown before. I mean, they've never allowed that process filmed so intimately. And it should be really good. And then on the week of Winefest from the 24th through the 29th, there's going to be a movie shown called You Will Be My Son. And it's about a Bordeaux vineyard in France where a man is aging in having to eventually pass the vineyard on to someone, and he doesn't have a son who's interested. So he finds another young man who is interested. That's what I understand. So that'll be a lot of fun and lead up to Winefest.
What I wanted to ask, Sandy, was if I volunteer, will I get free wine?
Yes, actually you do. You get what you get for volunteering is a free general admission, and it comes with 6 tasting tickets. So you get a commemorative glass and 6 tasting tickets.
Well, I have some Bordeaux right next to my cellar dwellers and Fire Mountain and my Arizona Stronghold. It all compares. It's fun stuff. It's an interesting, I'm envious of Ted, the student in the studio this morning, the crowd here, having gone through the program, which I'd started it a couple of years ago before I got so incredibly old.
Regarding the program, one final plug as a from a student's perspective.
Yes, sir.
We've just talked about the movie coming up tonight, Red Obsession, and there was a very interesting factoid just in the trailer that the Chinese alone are probably going to exceed the total world capacity that currently exists in wine. There is great opportunity for students out there that are looking for something to dive into. There's enormous opportunities, both in viticulture and enology, right now.
And I'd like to mention one other thing that we're having at Winefest this year for the first time. It's a meadery. They make mead in Arizona with Arizona honey. So mead is one of the oldest beverages made before beer. You know, it's in the Middle Ages. And
honey wine.
And they actually make, it isn't always sweet. They make dry, yep. They say. So it'll be your chance to taste mead. It's going to be my chance to taste mead. I've never had mead before, so I'm really looking forward to it.
Those of us that hung around brewery stores in the Valley of the Sun and other places realize the individual guys have been making mead for a long time.
And there's the National Mead Association.
There is, yeah, exactly.
People are from making their mead in Prescott, as a matter of fact. So,
why don't we sum up and start with John here and just go around. John, tell us about your vineyard. Tell us what you're doing. And then,
we just opened a tasting room in Old Town Cottonwood. It's the Fire Mountain Tasting Room. It's at 1010 North Main Street. It's right down there by Pillsbury Wine Company. Of course, we have Arizona Stronghold down there and Burning Tree as well. So there's a lot of great tasting rooms to visit down in Old Town Cottonwood, and encourage you to come visit them all and drink Arizona wine.
Yeah, I'd like to add another factoid here. This is, again, from the Arizona University of Arizona study that the Wine Consortium put together or asked to have done. They say based on a conservative estimate of about a 10% growth a year, and currently this year we're experiencing about a 12% growth in the industry, they're saying that by the year 2015, the effect of the wine industry on the Verde Valley will be in excess of $44 million. Again, that's nearly double what it was from the 2011 study. And I don't know about you, but that's a way better investment than I've been involved with.
I think, you know, what I hear is that this is great for keeping young people. It's a fun industry, and it has all kinds of enormously wonderful side effects in terms of tourism and employing youth and so forth and so on. Ted?
Well, make no mistake, there's a significant amount of hard work involved with viticulture, and this past month has been a very interesting trial and error for me in the cellar, but it is exciting. There is absolutely a fun component to all this, and I would tell any aspiring student that if you're willing to work hard, there is just, again, enormous opportunity here and abroad in this industry, and don't hesitate, jump right in.
Mm-hmm. I like to always say that the wine industry in Arizona grew during the recession. There aren't very many industries that grew during the recession, and wine is certainly one of them. Healthcare probably being another one, but wine definitely.
Well, wine's part of a good healthcare, so they go hand in hand.
Amen.
Yeah.
And it's sustainable.
It is sustainable. And I want to just thank you guys for having us here today. I appreciate it. You know, we have some events that are coming up that we're going to invite you all to. I want to say look forward to the Arizona Grape Stomp, which is coming up on October 19th. It's a fun 5K run, and it benefits the Arizona Wine Growers Association, which is the statewide wine industry association. So it's happening in Old Town Cottonwood, and we hope to see you there.
And the night before is a fundraiser for the Southwest Wine Center. That's the winery that's going to be built on the Verde campus. It's called Art, Wine, and Dine in the Verde Valley, and that's at the Yavapai College on the Verde campus. It's a complete dinner. John will be one of our winemakers who's there.
And there's no wine served, right?
There'll be lots of wine served.
When is it again, Tom?
It's October the 18th. On the evening, starts at 5 o'clock in the evening.
Okay. Tasting.
Wine tasting, dinner, yeah. And auction.
I have done wine. Part of the consortium event that you had a while back, they had some wine tasting as a part of that. You might want to bring somebody to drive. Or at least somebody, or I will get somebody. We'll have somebody able to drive people at least to as far as the bus goes.
So we do want to thank everybody for coming in. We hope maybe you guys will come again next year or 6 months or something and update us about what's happening with the wine industry. I think we have an industry here that, as Sandy said, increased during the recession. We've got an industry with a lot of potential. We've got an exciting, fun industry. It's a lot of hard work, as Ted said. And we've got an industry that has potential. You can become your own. You can have your own wines. You can have your own labeled. You can grow your own grapes. There's a tremendous potential to do a lot of different kinds of things. Is that what I'm hearing from all of you?
Yes.
There's a lot of info here today, and you can listen to the show in perpetuity on on your computer. VVID.org, VVID.org. All of our shows are there. All the podcasts are there. And you can go back. And this one, it'll be a day or two before it gets posted, but yeah. it'll be there also, because there is so much information. You may want to listen to it again.
To do that. And if you go to our website, we'll have some of the data that they're talking about up on the website. Next week, we're going to be talking with two school superintendents and Jim Ledbetter about the override, the educational override. Again, another one of our non-political type of shows, except Mike is a fervent education believer.
Come listen to the show. There's lots of good reasons for voting for the override.
You've been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 o'clock news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.